Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Menders Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
Starting.
Yeah.
So first of all, I want to talk a little bit about our Steam group. It's been growing, which is great, and we've been posting a lot on there, a lot of free games. Just this week, we recently had, like, I don't know, four or five games that we posted on there, giveaways that were going on various sites, and we're going to continue to post stuff on there. So if you're listening, do yourself a favor, join the DL Gaming Steam group and check that occasionally for any free games that are going on.
Also, yeah, still, we only have 25 members, which is only a fraction of our listeners. It doesn't make any sense, really, because I know they all have Steam accounts.
Yeah, and I've kind of put a little work into it. There's not much you can do with the Steam groups, but I put links to YouTube, Twitch, our official website, dlgaming.net, a little description of us up there, and I've been posting, again, a lot of free games, and it's kind of a way for us to communicate with any listeners. If you want to play any games with us, if you've got any questions, comments, or any topics you want us to discuss, we're definitely open to that. And also, it looks like every Wednesday I'm going to be doing like a giveaway. I've got a bunch of extra games with all these bundles I've been buying. I've just got so many extra games piling up, and I'm going to be giving them away to anybody who asks, basically. It's one per customer per week. First come, first serve. So check it out on Wednesday, and you know, try to be the first if you really want a specific game. And you got to be a member of the group, obviously, for at least a week. If you've been a member for a couple of days and it's obvious you're sticking around, you're not just some rando, then I'll work with you. And these are free games, so don't expect anything too amazing, but there's some decent ones on there.
Awesome Knots. I always wanted to play that one.
Yeah, Awesome Knots, which I really liked. That was one of those games I wish more people in my circle of friends were playing so I could have a little bit more fun with that. But that was a fun game. Also, Hotline Miami is still available on there. Return to Castle Wolfenstein got picked up pretty quick, but that's a good game. And then there's a bunch of other 99 Levels to Hell. Decent game.
Hey, Bobby, can I have a free game?
I don't know. Are you a member of the group? But yeah, this is the list that is currently up there. It will be available until Wednesday, and then on Wednesday I'm going to post the new list, minus the ones that have been taken, but plus the other ones that I've gotten. I'm already piling up more games.
What's Ballpoint Universe?
Ballpoint Universe is a lot like Scribblenauts, if you're familiar with that game.
Yeah.
It's actually not that bad. I played a little bit of it. It's a decent game.
That's what we're looking for around here. Not that bad.
Yeah, not that bad.
That's the bar that we're
That meets my criteria. But, yeah, so definitely check out the Steam game if you're a listener, or, you know, encourage your friends to grab some free stuff. Why not?
Cool.
All right.
Sounds good.
Let's see. What do we want to start with today?
Yeah, well, you're playing a pretty big game right now, so let's go into that.
Yeah, pre-purchased Wolfenstein.
Tell us about it.
Well, first of all, I got a few complaints about it. No surprise, right? But...
Do you want to lead with the complaints? You always lead with the complaints.
I do. Well, I want to get the bad stuff out of the way.
Okay.
I mean, the good part is it's Wolfenstein. And I played the original Wolfenstein, like, you know, back in 92 when it came out. And that was really, you know, one of the first first-person shooters. Really put that genre on the map. And I love that game. And it would have had to have been really bad for me to not like the new Wolfenstein.
Based on name and genre, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start off with the stuff that I do like, actually. I mean, first of all, that is Wolfenstein. Gotta love it. Second of all, the graphics look great. They kind of went for a little photorealism here. Just the main character, B.J. Blazkowicz, they took the original character from the original games. This actually takes place 3 years after the original Wolfenstein.
Before you... I'm not too familiar with Wolfenstein. So the original one was back in 92. Mm-hmm. And that one, you're basically just fighting Nazis, right? It's in World War II, and you're fighting Nazis. And it gets a little bit into the mythical stuff, mystic stuff, right?
I don't know if the original one did. Return to Castle Wolfenstein definitely got into the whole...
occult stuff.
Yeah, the occult. Had a lot of satanic stuff in there. Like, the Nazis were trying to use, like, demonic powers to strengthen their forces.
And then they rebooted the series, though, like, 10 years ago or something like that? 5 years ago, something like that? Didn't they do that?
I want to say that there was... Or that's probably... When did Return to Castle Wolfenstein?
Return to Castle Wolfenstein was maybe 2000... Early 2000s.
Okay.
I think that's what you're thinking.
It was like 10 years ago.
Okay. And then this one takes place a couple years after the reboot. Is that... So this continues the reboot?
I don't think so. Okay. I think this actually takes place 3 years after the original Wolfenstein.
The original Wolfenstein.
And the original Wolfenstein was basically... first of all, it was developed or completely programmed by John Carmack and John Romero. You know, it's kind of a game... You know,
the zombie John Romero?
Not John Romero. Who's the other... No, it is John Romero.
Yeah, the guys that did Quake, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But you're basically an American spy that got trapped in a Nazi facility, and you've got to break your way out. And at the end, you end up killing Hitler. He's like the final boss.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, it was a fun game back then. Doesn't quite hold up. But but what I do like about the new Wolfenstein, Wolfenstein: The New Order, is first of all, the graphics are great. The main character looks really realistic, like strangely realistic.
How can you see him though?
You see him in the beginning of the game during cutscenes, stuff like that.
So, like, he's more detailed than the other characters in the game?
I almost feel like he is.
Yeah.
I don't know. During gameplay, obviously, it goes down a little bit. But they did a good job with that, I felt. And it almost kind of enters that uncanny valley area where it's almost too realistic.
Wow. Does it definitely feels like a AAA title
as
you're playing it?
Absolutely. And it's got all the pluses and minuses that go along with that. But... has a lot of callbacks as well to the original game. If you played the original game and you liked it as much as I did, there's a lot in there for you. A lot of little things, too, like the fact that you can eat dog food for health. That's something from the original game. There's also chalices. You collect chalices for, like, points. And when you start the game, you know you always choose a difficult level on a first-person shooter. And in the original Wolfenstein, it was like, don't hurt me. Bring them on. Yeah. I am Death Incarnate. And those are all in this new version. And they even have, if you choose Don't Hurt Me, they even have the main character with a little baby bonnet and a pacifier on. And it looks so funny. It looked hilarious with all these high-res graphics.
Let me interject real quick. There's a game that I'm going to talk about later. The Typing of the Dead Overkill. I'll talk about it later. But the the difficulty settings are bitch. agent, which is pretty regular, and then motherfucker.
Nice.
And I'm a bitch because I suck at typing. But go ahead.
Yeah, maybe you'll move up to motherfucker one of these days. But yeah, so the graphics are great. The sound is good. I've read some of the reviews. People have kind of praised it for its storyline, which is, I'm actually not too far into the game, so I can't give like the full opinion on it. So far, it's looking decent. The one thing I don't like is a problem that you see with a lot of AAA titles. You basically start the game. You know, in a good game, I feel like there's a character arc.
Yeah.
If you played Far Cry 3, you start off as this kid brother, basically, who's not really too confident, and he kind of gets forced into these situations, discovers his powers, and slowly evolves into this, like, wild maniac.
Works great for that game, but terrible for Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Because it's a girl. Because she had tits. It doesn't work.
Yeah, well, let's not start
The evolution of a person on an island, completely different.
Yeah, completely different.
No. Well, we can get to the specifics of why that worked in Jason Brody's case and not Laura Croft's case. But let's not get sidetracked here. So basically in this game, you start off as this hardened, like, war veteran. And I'm assuming you're going to finish the game as a slightly more hardened war veteran. So there's really no character arc there to speak of.
So... you start off shooting and everything. You got like a full arsenal to start with, too? Or do you build up skills or whatever in the game or anything like that?
Yeah. And that's where...
it's really interesting. Yeah, I've never seen a game do what... I guess you unlock achievements, and the achievements give you abilities, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen a game do that before. Have you guys?
No. That's first time I've seen it. You know, like achievements are, you know... Get 10 headshots and get this achievement. Well, in Wolfenstein, you get 10 headshots, you get an achievement, and it also unlocks some perk, like maybe now you got 5 more ammo in your pistol or something like that. So in order to progress, you have to do all these achievements. I mean, I don't know if we really got into achievements, but I don't care for them too much in games. But it really forces you to play the game in an unnatural way. So one achievement was I had to do this sliding move. You know, you run and you press duck and you slide. And I had to kill 3 people while I was sliding. So I'd run into these battles trying to slide and shoot people and just get tore up because it's not a very effective move. Even if I practiced it a lot, it would not be an effective move. It's terrible close quarters and it just doesn't work too well.
I can imagine in a firefight you're... just out of nowhere, you leave cover and start running at the other guy so you can slide at him.
And that's pretty much what happens.
Shoot the leg, Johnny.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, I've always thought of achievements as things that people that want to go the extra mile go and do, not part of your core gameplay.
Yeah. But could you do well in the game without these perks?
Probably, right? Yeah, probably. The game's not too challenging yet. I'm just playing on the normal difficulty.
What differentiates it from other first-person shooters gameplay-wise? Do they have cool guns? Do they...
Dual-wield is pretty much...
They dual-wield anything, right? You can dual-wield right off the bat, which is cool. That is pretty awesome. You just whip out two guns and you just start mowing people down. It's like a video game tradition to shoot Nazis, so there's something very true and fulfilling about that. You know, I haven't done it in a while, but now that I'm doing it again, I'm just like, yes, this is what game is all about.
Something about suffering in German that just makes it... Je ne sais quoi.
Well, they give it... I was wondering how they're going to do this, because the main character's name is B.J. Blazkowicz. It sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in the day, like when they made the original Wolfenstein, they probably didn't care much about a lot of story in games. But I was wondering, they're going to play this completely serious. This guy's name is B.J. Blazkowicz, and they're going to play this whole game, like, with a serious tone. And it kind of works so far.
You know, if people have been saying that this has a good story, that's... quite a credit to them, because, you know, like you said, there's no story arc or much of a story arc, so that's quite a credit to them if they can somehow get a good story out of just those elements that they have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like a lot to work with.
Yeah.
Or not a lot to work with for a story, sorry.
I need to play more of this game to really substantiate an opinion. I mean, so far, there's just something that I really like about this game, and I'm pretty sure it's just the fact that it's Wolfenstein, it's big mechanized Nazis. Like, they look cool. Like, everything about this game just looks cool.
Yeah, I watched you on the stream, and it's probably the best-looking game I've seen on the stream. So, it looks like a pretty good video game on that end, but on your end, I guess they're going for photorealism, right?
Yeah. And if you watched on the stream, like, it probably was a little disruptive. Like, every 2 or 3 minutes, I felt like I was checking my perks. Like, okay, how many more headshots do I need? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now what do I got to do to get this next unlock?
Do you feel like just playing it through, and then whatever you get, you get?
I want to, but the perfectionist in me will not let that happen. Yeah. I got to get all the achievements and all the unlocks, because they do make you a stronger player, and, like, who knows when you're actually going to need that in gameplay? Who knows how the difficulty is going to ramp up? You may need, like, a specific unlock to... And these are divided also, I should mention. You have tactical, which is kind of like the sniper. You have assault. You have stealth. And so you can kind of go down different trees, but you can do all of them as well.
So you're going to reserve judgment on whether or not you'd recommend this, or you can already
say... I already recommend it. I mean, it's Wolfenstein. I told you at the beginning of this, like, I'm already sold on this game completely.
Yeah. Cool.
Did they use the mechanized stuff to do anything cool with the weapons, or is it just stock 1950s weapons?
I'm really not too far into the game. I'm just at the part where he gets knocked unconscious for 14 years, and yet he's still in great shape. After 14 years in a vegetative state, this guy comes out, like, totally ripped, right?
Blazkowicz, man.
Blazkowicz. Yeah. When you got a name like B.J. Blazkowicz, like...
That's funny.
That'll sustain you on its own.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's making me want to get it.
Yeah. Well, more on that, like, and this would be a perfect game for you to check out on, like, Steam sharing that we're doing, because it's, like, a one-time playthrough. You know, it'll be a great experience one time.
Is there any multiplayer?
None at all.
Wow.
And I'm okay with that.
Surprising for a first-person shooter to not do multiplayer.
It is unusual, but we got so many other great multiplayer games out there. Why not just let this be its own thing?
Yeah.
So the in-home streaming is now live for all Steam users.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that Chad can play my games on his computer without doing the friends and family?
No, what you're thinking of is a family sharing. That's to basically give your account to someone else,
right,
and they can play your games while you're not using it. The in-home streaming is, well, since you guys are in the same household,
that's what I was saying.
Your game would be running it.
Right.
And it would show up both on your screen.
My PC would be.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Your PC would be running it, and Chad could be playing it in his room. But it's going to run and take up your screen on your computer as well. And you won't be able to alt-tab out of it or anything like that.
Right.
It's great for if you have a really good gaming PC in the house, and then you've got maybe like a media center out in your living room, or maybe you've got a Mac. It totally fixes the whole cross-platform thing. You can play PC games on a Mac computer with this.
I wonder if you're going to be able to... Can you stream to consoles?
Well, you can stream to the Steam Box.
Right. But how are you going to control it? How are you going to control the game?
big picture mode is what the Steam Box uses. So I assume with just the controller, an Xbox controller, or...
But what's it going to?
The Steam Box.
Oh, if you have it. But he said the Chrome...
No, you didn't say Chrome. He said Steam Box.
I don't know what I'm thinking about. Yeah. Sorry.
It's tangent. Basically remote gaming. Like you,
if you, like VPN, could you do it out of location? Or if you do a virtual private network or anything like that, could you do it?
Yeah, and people have talked about that in the forums too. Like I've looked it up, but you're really not going to get very good speeds.
Yeah.
And depending on the game, if you're playing Rogue Legacy, not going to be a big deal. If you're playing Assassin's Creed, then yeah, you need a really high bit rate to sustain those graphics.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
But it's great that it's finally out and legit now. I was in it in the beta and kind of tested it out, but I really don't have a need for it personally.
Yeah. It seems very specific need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think this complements the Steam Box very well, because now people can have this Steam Box and they aren't limited to the games that they can play on the Steam Box if they have another gaming computer in the house.
Yeah, the thing is, though, why have a graphics card in the Steam Box? Why not just have a streaming device with that can take input?
You can still play some games locally.
Right.
Well, and also, isn't the Steam Box kind of determined by the manufacturer of it, right?
Right. Yeah. There's probably some of the really low-end ones.
Yeah.
What were they starting at, like $400?
I think so.
On up?
Yeah.
Which is still kind of expensive when you compare it to a PS4 or an Xbox.
Yeah absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what you've been playing. I've been playing quite a few games this week. I went crazy and bought a couple things. I played Violet, you know, last week. I had asked you about the point and point-click adventure games. So you recommended Violet. So I picked up Violet, played through Beat It. It's a rather short game. It's probably just a couple hours to go through. There was enjoyable parts and not enjoyable parts to it.
I don't know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. So it's obviously created by a foreign company.
Yeah.
And it doesn't explain anything. It doesn't explain why you're picking up things or what the controls are. And so you're kind of just left on your own. And they've got like this hint system to show you how to like progress in the level. But they don't tell you that you all have a limited number of hints. So I was just using them whenever I felt like it and then ran out. And they slowly come back. Like one, you get one like every 10 minutes or something.
That's
like
funny.
That. So like the whole rest of the game, I basically couldn't use hints because I had used them all up in like the first two sections. The art style I thought was really cool, kind of like a painted kind of world.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Speaking on the art style, everyone compares this to the movie Coraline. I never even saw that movie.
I liked it. It's a really good movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It kind of does look like the main character.
So the sound I thought was really good also, and some of the puzzles I liked, and some of them were terrible. Do you remember the clock puzzle? There's a puzzle. So basically the puzzle is you're faced with a clock, and if you set it to the right time, it opens up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But there was no indication on what the right time to do it was.
So what'd you do, just turn the clock until you got it?
Well, when I clicked on the hint, it said to turn it to 7 o'clock.
No, there was a hint somewhere. I remember specifically there was a hint somewhere for that. I can't remember where, but I didn't have a hard time with that specific puzzle because that was one of the ones I found easier because I remember finding a hint that told me what to do at that point.
You asked for a recommendation. He recommended a 61 Metascore for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that, no. I mean...
Well, let's finish out with this. I want to talk on point-and-click adventures in general. I played this back in December, and it actually had a different ending back then. They patched it and changed the ending.
So, I don't know what...
Just talk about it.
I don't know what yours went up to, but my ending was like, what the fuck just happened? Because it's a point-and-click adventure, and then you get in the last room, and then you start shooting at this boss and have a shield, and like
it becomes a platformer.
Yeah, gameplay completely changes. And you don't know what you're doing. Like, you don't even know how to fire your things. All I'm getting, it trees to grow, and that's all I'm getting to happen. But it's telling me to shoot at her, and you have no idea how to shoot.
Yeah.
Like it, and then so I shot her, and then I won. And like, you're like, what?
It was completely different. It was nothing like that. But I remember seeing a patch for this game, and they were advertising all new action-packed ending. And I almost went back to play it just to see what the new ending was because it was a little It wasn't too exciting to play through this entire game.
Anticlimactic.
Yeah, exactly. And get to the end of the game, and then you just click on something. It's like, oh, game's over. Yeah. But yeah, not very much story in this game. What I liked about it when I played it was the puzzles. I found them really challenging, and it almost kind of reminded me of the Life magazine, where you'd have to like look at the picture and then find the little hidden objects.
Yeah,
it's kind
of
like
very
that.
Much of that.
I actually ran into a bug on this during the tree with the corks and the ants. You know the part I'm talking about. There was a bug back when I played this in December, and I must have been there for like 5-10 minutes trying to figure this out, and then finally I'm just like, this has got to be a bug. So I looked up, you know, violet cork bug. And
oh,
sure
is it
enough,
one where the cork, you couldn't pick up the third cork?
Yeah, something like that.
That happened to me too. I had to quit the game, and when I came back in, the third cork was in my inventory somehow.
Yeah, and that's terrible to have on a point-and-click adventure. Because if you look up the solution to a puzzle on a point-and-click adventure, you're never getting that back. You're never reliving that experience of solving that.
Yeah.
You know, these are one-time playthroughs and that.
I never looked shit up. Yeah. As little as possible. Except for, like, Dark Souls 2.
You have to.
It's part of the game.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would only say get this if you're really into point-and-click. If you're not really into it, then Violet is a skip for me. It's Violet with two T's at the end, by the way. I had problems even finding the game that you had recommended, because I didn't know it was two T's.
Yeah.
So then I decided to get the Monkey Island pack. So Monkey Island pack is $14.99 for two games, the Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition and Monkey Island 2 Special Edition. So I booted that up, and it starts off in like this, you know, the cheesy 8-bit or before.
Original graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh boy, this is going to be interesting. And then, like, 30 seconds into it, kind of, like, sparkles or whatever and changes to these really cool-looking graphics, kind of
more
painted
style.
I was really impressed by the graphics, and the voice acting is actually, I really like, too. It's got that quirky kind of tries to be funny, but sometimes it's trying too hard, and sometimes it pulls it off kind of humor on it. I think a lot of it held up, but the gameplay kind of doesn't. You have to like bring up you push V and it brings up this verb menu, and it has all the things like pick up, use, push, pull, open.
Like nine or six?
At least nine, maybe more.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And then like if you want to use an item, you have to push V, say use, then push I, bring up your inventory, select the item you want to use, close that down, and then click on the thing that you want. But that only happens once. So if you're trying to several things out, if you want to try it on several different things, you got to do that all those actions again and again. So that's the
worst part of the game, right?
Yeah, that didn't really hold. The other thing that I didn't like, okay, it's not really a complaint, it's not a fault of their own, but we live in a different time than when this was made. The pacing on this is ridiculously slow. I was trying to like skip, like the voice acting is really nice, but you get to a point where you're like, I can read faster than they're talking. Yeah. Let me just get through this.
We talked about this last week, too.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it was good. I haven't gotten too far into it because I was playing some other games, but I'm enjoying it. It's tickling that point-and-click adventure kind of vein that I wanted to do, but if I wasn't in the mood for point-and-click, like, this game would be not for me.
Do you feel a little bit of, like, oh, I'm playing this classic game? And
a little bit. It's like
I'm getting that off my list.
Yeah, and I've heard about this game for years. You know, it's always on like one of those
people bring it up all the time.
Yeah, so I'm glad I'm playing it because I really wanted to see the kind of. And it looks like it's a relatively long game. Have you played through this, right, Bobby?
Not entirely. Okay. I started playing this again a couple months ago, and I haven't made it really that far. Have you gotten to the part where you see George Lucas at the bridge? You'll get to that part. But there is a really good interview that PC Gamer does with Ron Gilbert, and he talked a little bit. It was when Broken Age was coming out, and he talked a little bit about point-and-click adventures in general and a little bit about Monkey Island. And he said an interesting thing about this game was they didn't think that they had a puzzle that had to do with a monkey wrench. You had to take a pipe and a monkey and make a monkey wrench. And they didn't think that, I guess a lot of people in the UK had trouble with that because they don't call it a monkey wrench.
Yeah, a spanner, right? Don't they?
Yeah, like a spanner, I think is what they call it over there. So they ran into trouble like that with the game. And He also talked a little bit about, and I thought this was really interesting, about how everything basically boils down, you know, all those options you get in Monkey Island, open, close, lick, whatever, you know, even in Leisure Suit Larry, which is one of my favorite point and click adventure games, you get all these options, but what Ron Gilbert was saying was it all basically boils down to use. Yeah. Use pretty much encompasses everything. So is really, should we really just be making use the only action that
but
you
the downside
do?
Of that is somebody's just going to spam use all over the screen until yeah. something works.
I was thinking about point and click adventure games when you mentioned it last week, and I looked up some like top 10 point and click adventures of all time, and on all the lists, they were all dated games, all really old games. Yeah. The only ones that came up in the last 10 years was some lists had Walking Dead, but I don't consider that a point-and-click adventure game. There's no Why puzzles not? In it. There's no puzzles at all.
Yeah, there is. I got stuck. I had to come figure it out for me.
In the walking, maybe in like the first one, like you have to pick up something and use it on something. But yeah. Wolf Among Us, Walking Dead, it's all just mash the Q button or choose a dialogue option. Very little puzzles. Another one I saw pop up from the last 10 years was Deponia, which I've actually been meaning to play. It's actually a game I have an extra copy of.
I was about to make the joke that you had three copies sitting around. And look how close I was.
You were close. But I saw that pop up on one list, and I really want to check that one out soon. But I think point-and-click adventure games are just an antiquated system. I think it's something that we had in the 90s that were really popular because we didn't have the computers and the technology to make really a good, interesting, well, not interesting, but really graphically intense games. It's like a trading card game or a customizable card game. It's just something that was created with the best that we had back then.
But you would think that would be replaced by just the low budgets of the indie developers. You would think indies would be making point-and-click adventures because you don't need that, you know, big engine to get it done and all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have their limitations.
But I don't think a lot of people are playing point-and-click adventure games.
Yeah. They suck.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, they're either too hard or they're too easy.
It's so hard to find that. Like Myst was too. I was telling him, you know, that was probably my first PC game I ever played.
Myst.
Mm-hmm. And as soon as I started having to take notes on paper, I was like, fuck this game. I'm not going to do homework.
And there, back in the day, like in the 90s when these games were popular, there were not a lot of games out. You didn't have a Steam library full of 1,208 games.
Yeah, you would scroll through your list. It's ridiculous.
It's getting ridiculous, folks.
Well, maybe we should move on beyond point and click. So,
please.
I actually picked up Transistor, which is the new one from Superbomb. Is that the one who does that? They're the ones that did Bastion. Supergiant Games.
Yeah, yeah.
So they did Bastion, and then so this is it's not a sequel, obviously, because it takes place in kind of a techno modern world.
Did you pick up Bastion?
I do have Bastion. I only played for like an hour, so I didn't get to.
Did you not like it?
I liked it okay.
It was just like
a hack and slash, so
yeah,
it wasn't like blowing me away. I know there's supposed to be a part in there that Bastion, or it's really cool, something with music or whatever.
Yeah.
But I never got to that part. But Transistor, I wasn't expecting it to be a great game, but man, I am having a blast with it.
Really?
The art style is amazing. Like if you see screenshots of this game, it's really cool art style.
What type of game is it?
Same as Bastion, but they do a really cool mechanic in there. So it's all like this techno kind of programming sort of language, and so you have an option. If you push R2, it pauses time, right?
Okay.
So all the fights happen in like they're almost puzzles. Like the door closes sort of thing and the enemies pop up, and when you defeat them, then it says you win and you go, so your life bar refills after every one of those fights. So as long as you can get through the fight, you know, you're on to the next part. So you're in the fight and you have a different abilities, but all your abilities are really slow. Like your attack has like a 1 or 2 second animation before it goes. But you can push R2 and it goes into this pause mode, basically. And you have a bar up at the top. And you can do actions and it eats up chunks of time on your bar.
Oh, okay.
And then when you say, yes, that's what I want to do.
You see it play out?
She like does it in fast forward.
Right.
So like the enemies are barely crawling while she's running around hacking and slashing. But then you've got a timer before it comes back to use it again. So you kind of use it. run. It's a kind of a puzzle where you're trying to figure out the optimal way to use it, because abilities will go through enemies. Like, it'll either be explosions, or it'll go through enemies, or have other functions that go on. So you're trying to figure out the best way to do it in the time allotted, and then trying to survive until you can do it.
So is it like an action puzzler?
You don't have to use the ability,
right.
But it's really strong. You know, it's the strongest ability you have. You basically want to use it. And so I'm having a lot of fun with the gameplay. The other thing that's cool is the skills in this game. So at the beginning, you start off with two skills. One's like a short-range attack, and one's like a long, kind of a long, skinny attack that goes a long ways. So you start picking up more abilities, and you have up to four slots to put them in. Each ability says what they can do on their own, but also can augment your other abilities. So, for example, I got an explosion sort of one, like a grenade. If I attach it to my other attack, that attack then has an AoE component to it. Yeah. So you can do all sorts of... So all the skills you're picking up, you got to figure out how I best use them, how I want to attach them. And so you could probably play this game all sorts of different ways.
Yeah, different
based
customization
on,
and
you know, like you have a dash that doesn't do anything other than dash, but you can use it slowed down in time and do things. But then you could also attach an attack to it, and then your dash does damage as you travel and do other things like that. So I thought that was really cool.
Very dynamic.
So. You know, Bastion has the narrator, and that's like kind of its thing. So this has a narrator, but it's actually the sword. So the sword is talking to you while you're moving through.
Kind of stole that from Dust.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, that sword was a prick, I thought.
I never played Dust Elysium.
He kind of was, an Elysian Tale.
Yeah, he's a little... I guess if you're an ancient sword of immense power.
Did you finish the game, though?
Nah.
Well, yeah, he starts off a little rough, but you got to finish that game, dude. It had a great ending.
Is that multiplayer?
No. What it sounds like you're describing almost is bullet time effect in an RPG game.
Yeah, it kind of is that.
Yeah.
Wait, it is RPG? No. It's like an action
RPG.
It's got some RPG elements. You level up and you get skills and all.
It almost sounds like the mechanic that was in Fallout 3, couldn't you slow down time and figure out your moves?
When you could use it basically turn-based, right? Fallout, you could do turn-based or real-time.
Yeah. Yeah, you could switch back and forth between the two.
So, the last thing I want to point out is they have occasionally like these little consoles that you can walk up to, and some of these sometimes have like surveys, and I don't know if that...
affects your game?
I'm not really sure. One of the surveys said, what do you want...
Survey says...
what do you want the weather to be like tomorrow? And it was like cloudy or sunny.
Right.
And so I picked one, and it said, respondents have said 59% said one and 41% said the other. But I don't know if that actually... So it seems to me
if
like...
If there's a live server that's actually taking this into account.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's the case or not, because I haven't played a ton of it. All in all, I've been really impressed with Transistor.
Totally worth the $20 then, right?
Yeah, and I don't buy games too often, but I've been really, really happy with it.
That's pretty expensive. It's all relative, because I dropped $60 on Wolfenstein. Well, actually, 43.
Who's
20
counting?
Bucks, yeah. But $20, man. $20 bill on that.
Well, I would say, if you like the hack and slash, you'll like it. If you liked Bastion, you'll really like this game, I think.
Yeah. Well, from everything that you described, this really sounds like something I'd be interested
in
playing.
Yeah, you did paint a pretty picture there.
It's got an 83 on Metacritic. It's not bad.
So, what about the sound? Because, well, not the sound, but the music.
Oh, the music's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, Bastion was known for
it. Yeah. And you can tell. And actually, the main character is a singer who's lost her voice.
Ah.
So, it does a lot of like... And it she does kind of like operatic music. So, it's got kind of that kind of like vein throughout the whole game that you're playing. It's kind of got music tied into it.
I wonder if Supergiant... I mean, this is a studio to look out for, right? I mean, this is two hits in a row, really.
Yeah.
And that's pretty nice.
But I mean, they're sticking to what they're good at, right?
Yeah, for
which
sure.
Which spread very far apart. When did Bastion come out?
3 years ago?
Something like that.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got one more game that I was playing, and this has been talked about before, so I won't talk about it too much, but I finally picked up Fez to play, and it didn't look like something that would be fun for me. Like, that's why I haven't picked it up before. But I ended up getting a free copy, so I started playing it, and I'm actually having a lot of fun with Fez also. It's kind of I'm sure, yeah, you guys have talked about the kind of gameplay it is. You can, like, move the screen left and right. It's all 2D, but you can move the screen kind of like a Paper Mario style kind
right.
of. But the thing is, when you move the screen, your guy always moves to the front. So if you have a gap, if you have a gap there that you can't cross, you can move the screen, and now those things are facing, are like behind each other.
It's really hard to describe this you don't see it.
And when you start walking, and then when you turn it back, you'll be on the other
side. Imagine the level is a cube, and that cube had different platforms on it. And so when you jump around the corner of the cube, there has to be a platform there waiting for you, otherwise you'll fall. Right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And you can turn it at will. You can turn the cube at will.
You basically go from 2D to 3D. You can alternate between those two worlds. Between 2D.
Well, it's always 2D. Right?
It's always 2D, but you can alternate
manipulate
what direction 3D. you're yeah. in a 3D world.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird, but it's a puzzle game. There's not really enemies that you have to go through. So it's really just playing, figuring out how to get to certain things and finding all the little hidden spots. I'm enjoying it. I'm not enjoying it as much as Transistor. When I picked that up, I stopped playing Fez. So if I had to only recommend one, I'd definitely recommend Transistor. I was having more fun with Fez than I was with the point-and-click adventures.
I think I got Fez for like $2 or $3, and I didn't like it. I didn't like that there was any monsters. I just felt like I was going around trying to figure out how to pick things up.
Yeah.
And that's all you do.
Well, they say there's four type of gaming archetypes, right? Or game players, right? And one of them is the explorer. And I think if you're an explorer game type, then this game really appeals to you because it's all about trying to reach hidden spots and try to find everything.
Mm.
So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't know, Bobby, did you play it?
I played very little of this game. They featured
which
a lot
you own,
of
I'm sure.
Oh yeah, yeah, I haven't. But
eight.
I haven't
eight of them.
Eight copies. Of
I have to get. I gotta get super exaggerated now.
It got a 91 on Metacritic for the PC. That's pretty good. But yeah, this game was featured in Indie Game the Movie. You guys have seen that, right?
No, mm-hmm. I have not.
Oh, well, you gotta check that out.
I saw some of it. That's the one that has the Super Meat Boy mm-hmm. developer in there.
Yeah, it follows the guys who made Super Meat Boy, the guy who made Fez, and also the guy who made Braid.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And yeah, it's a great document. Yep.
That guy got so much gamer cred right when that game out, and we haven't heard anything from him since, right? He hasn't done anything since
Jonathan
the guy who
Blow.
Did Braid. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's got releasing... something. Sony showed something when they.
Yeah, it's coming out in 2014, and yeah, he just announced like not too long ago Oculus support for it, saying, "Yeah, what was the name of that new game?"
I remember that it was a completely different genre, is what he said. It would have to be if it was VR supported.
The Witness.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, right. Isn't it some sort of like a narrative that you play through, more like a movie that you play through?
Yeah.
It's a puzzle game, but it's like a 3D world.
I mean, that's what... now, a point and click that you're playing in VR, I mean, that would be fucking awesome. If you're actually looking around a virtual room for things, as opposed to clicking everywhere you can on a picture.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of how Gone Home was. I mean, it wasn't 3D or anything. You kind of... search around. They use the Unity engine for that. You don't actually see any characters in that, so they were able to use like photographs on walls and stuff and act like, you know, it was people looked just lifelike. But that was one where you actually walked around a physical space and tried to find things. And that's what I think what The Witness is going to be like. He said the theme of it is like epiphany or something like that. Like things that you try to figure out these puzzles and you find out the answer was always right there in front of you the whole time. So yeah, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. He has some very deep things. Like, he had a... Braid was philosophical. And you have to, like, really read into why he did things and why he chose... It's just a game on the surface that has to do with time travel. But if you read the reasons of why he did these things, like, it's all philosophically based on... He's trying to get a point across, which, commended for it.
Yeah, he has very specific opinions on what he thinks makes a good game.
Yeah,
and it, really interesting stuff on him on YouTube if you want to read more about that.
Now, speaking of Oculus, Samsung said that they are going to beat Oculus and who else is making one?
Sony.
Sony, yeah. They're going to beat Oculus and Sony to market with their VR headset. So they're on the fast track. They haven't shown anything, but, you know, they're coming out and saying, you know, firing shots. We're going to get there first, so...
So basically everyone's making their own Oculus at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
and Oculus is getting sued right now with the whole ZeniMax deal and John Carmack.
I haven't read too much into it.
So what's going on with that?
I haven't read too much into it either, but they wanted a cut of it and they said no, and so they're suing because they say a lot of their technology, a lot of their code was used in making that. So the makers of Oculus...
Isn't it Bethesda? Or is it ZeniMax?
I can't remember which one is.
They're very close. I mean, they work with each other a lot, but I thought it was Bethesda. Yeah,
ZeniMax sues Oculus over virtual reality Rift Tech. Yeah, so ZeniMax is suing the makers of Oculus, which is bad news for them, and I don't know if that's going to mean setbacks.
It doesn't matter. They got that Facebook money now.
Yeah, apparently.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they joined up with Facebook.
Yeah,
seriously.
Or $1 billion had something to do with it as well.
But still, I mean, I don't know if we've talked about it in a long time, but I remember early on in the podcast, we talked a lot about Oculus, and I still don't think it's going to be the game changer that everyone hopes it will be. I mean, as an owner of 3D vision equipment, I can tell you I hardly ever use that thing, and asking people to put on a physical device, calibrate it, and configure it is way too much to ask people. They will do it sometimes when friends are over to show it off, but I don't think it's something that's going to be regularly used or really expanded.
I just think it's going to pop up new genres. There's going to be movies that you're in. There's going to, you know, that's, I would rather be in a game than playing a game, for sure. So, you know, we play for, well, I play for immersion. You know, the more immersed I am in something. Speaking of which, last week I was talking about how these early access games, and I was shitting all over how they don't update very much. So I was like, you know what, let me go double check on all this stuff. So Rust is actually coming out with a 2.0, basically a reboot, they're calling it. So the infrastructure of the original game didn't allow them to do very much with it. They couldn't do updates as fast as they wanted, the thing I was complaining about. So they're just redoing the entire thing, down to, like, I think they're starting over just at the engine and writing a whole new game. And they already have screenshots and stuff, and it looks way more photorealistic. Looks way, way cooler.
Are they using the same engine?
I think they're using the same engine, but that's about it. Like, they're, you know.
And that uses the Unity engine as well. That's a really popular engine.
Probably easy to work with.
Who does Unity?
I don't know.
Unity.
Okay, so it's not like.
Yeah, I don't think it's one of the major.
Well, it's a really popular. It's an affordable game engine, which is why you see it in a lot of indie games and just not AAA titles.
Gotcha.
And then Project Zomboid came out with their build 26, and the last one I played was build 23. And that's come quite a ways as well. It looks way, way better. Fixed a bunch of stuff, added a bunch of new items. And so maybe I should shut up. What it is, I think what it came down to is a watch pot never boils, right? Yeah. So, you know, you're playing these games every day and nothing's happening. But then you don't play them for a couple weeks, 3 weeks, maybe even a month. Then I came back and there's all kinds of cool stuff.
Didn't you say Starbound also had some updates?
I haven't seen anything on Starbound. I didn't even look at their patch notes, but okay. I should check them out.
I feel like people kind of move on from these games, though. Like, they're either going to stick with it or they're going to move on to something else. Like, people who continually play Rust are going to play despite the patches and whatever. But I don't know. It's kind of hard to get me back into Rust at this point. If a bunch of people are playing, I'd jump on. But of my own accord, I don't know if I'd go back to it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the games you got to play with a group.
Like, yeah,
you
playing makes it that, so much more fun.
Yeah, playing that by yourself, you're just going to get killed again and again. Yeah.
So last week I talked about how I started Binding of Isaac. I really like it. Maybe on my 20th or 30th, you know, a full game you can play in 5 minutes, depending on how shitty you do. You can beat the game in about 10 minutes, I would say. Maybe a little more if you have a really good run. So I beat the game, on my 30th, 40th run through, something like that. And so just to give you an idea of how this game plays out, I'm going to give you the items as I remember them of how I, first of all, I walked into a room and I got my teddy's head ripped off, my teddy bear's. It's just its head, so I cry more, right? So there's that going on. And then...
which means you shoot faster, basically, right?
More power, I believe, that one. So then I got the coat hanger, which makes your tears shoot faster, right?
I thought the coat hanger was the... No. Okay.
Yeah. So faster. Then... then I got Vampirism, which makes you heal when you kill, like, your every 10th. That was the one. because I had a bunch of hearts and you could refill. It's refilling your hearts is really tough.
Yeah.
So that was really good. Vampirism. I haven't seen it since either. I've played a ton of games. Then I had a bunch of mom's pills, which I got all good pills. I didn't get any shitty pills. So I was all amped up, like they're blue and pink.
Mom's got right. The good stuff.
Yeah, mom. You know, in the expansion pack, it's called Mommy's Little Secret, and it's like her pill purse. You could get that, and it just spills pills all over, and you just start eating them.
But you said there's bad pills also, right?
Yeah, there's bad pills as well. Unless you get a PhD, and then they're all good, I think. That's another item. So, and then I just got a bunch of hearts, and then I killed her, and I felt fucking awesome, because she's a bitch. And so I was like, you know what? And then I started playing. Dude, how often do you beat a game and just start over again? Like,
yeah.
So, and I started playing again. I was like, okay, fuck it. I'm going to go get the expansion pack. So I did. It was three times the price of the regular game. So $3. But totally worth it, man. Like, it adds two new levels to a game that only had five levels. So, you know, you're getting, what, 35% there or something like that?
40%.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Jerk. And way more items. Like, more items than... This is like one of those things where I could go look up what all these things do, but I'd rather just play it. So I keep getting this thing called a cube of meat that floats around you, and it blocks a lot of shots and does damage. So that thing's pretty cool. And I keep getting Tough Love, which is a...
brass knuckle.
Yeah, brass knuckle. And I was like, oh, cool. I get to hit people with my brass... No, you get hit and bust your teeth open, and now you have teeth that fly in with your tears, so it does more damage.
Wow.
Fucking brutal, man. It's such a brutal
Whoever created this game must have a lot of issues going on.
It is bizarre.
And I mentioned Typing of the Dead earlier. I only played it for about 5 minutes, but I fucking love it. I need to get better at typing. That's all there is to it. I'm terrible. I'm the worst of us three, for sure. And basically, it's the... House of the Dead.
What did you call it, though, when we started this podcast? You called it some, like, typing extreme.
Typing of the Dead. Overkill.
Overkill. Yeah. Okay.
Because I don't know if the original one's even on Steam. But anyway, if you know what House of the Dead is, it's used to be an arcade shooter for Sega that you could, like, go... And it was really, like, over the top with their super Asian, Japanese anime style, and, like, the acting was... So I'm like, oh man, this is going to be tough, but they took it in the perfect direction. It's super campy. It's like a grindhouse film. It's like watching
grindhouse.
Yeah. It's like watching what did Tarantino do not that long ago with Robert Rodriguez? They came out with two grindhouse films. It was Planet Terror.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like that. It's old school 70s. They have their Samuel L. Jackson black guy that calls everything motherfucker. they have the agent who's like too cool for school.
Yeah.
And you know, you're going through these things and these zombies are running at you, and you have to save yourself by riding toaster oven. It's just, you know, it's completely random things, and it's fucking really cool. And, I felt right away, I felt myself getting better. Even through the first level. At the end of the first level, I wasn't looking down at the keyboard anymore, so that helped.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun game. I actually picked up the DLC for that when it was on sale, because I played a little bit of that game, and it is fun. I do like other typing games on websites every now and then. This one, it will help you get better at typing. It does not... If you mistype something, you don't have to hit delete and go back. You can just... hit the other key. So I'm sure there's... You can just mash the keyboard and maybe get a high score. But
just face roll it?
Yeah, pretty much. But
you don't have to hit spacebar either.
No, you don't have to hit spacebar. And the words they have you type is really weird. And the DLC is basically new sets of words. They've got a Shakespeare one. They've got a bunch of DLC for it that adds new words.
Hey, Bobby, how do I pick up items? I don't know how to pick them up.
You have to... Oh, how do you pick up items? There's something you have to hit, like spacebar or control or shift or something like that.
I'll look it up.
Like shift enter. There is a way to do it. But yeah, it is a fun game, and it totally has that grindhouse feel to it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I love typing, man, just crunching away on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what you've been playing. We've all been kind of playing Infinite Crisis a little bit. We talked a lot about that last week. I have no idea why I'm hooked on that game, but I am. I really love playing that game. I think it's because I'm winning.
It's funny because we played Dota 2, we played League of Legends, and I couldn't get you to
Well, it was only a matter of time before one of these top-downs finally connected with me, and I really do win 80% of the time.
Yeah.
So that definitely helps.
And you've found a character that you like now, right?
Found a few characters that I like. And I think the fact that there's not an abundance of characters appeals to me as well. I feel like these games like League and even Smite at this point are just becoming oversaturated with players. Some of them are a little meaningless. No one ever plays them, or there's just too much to know and too much to memorize. Mm.
No, but, yeah, I agree. I did find out some things about it. You know, we had said last week where it doesn't differentiate itself from some of the other stuff. So I did find out a couple things that I thought were cool. In the base area, there's like a pylon that you can click on to get your wards. So they mm-hmm. do an interesting kind of mechanic to get wards. And there's other ones that you can get also. If your jungler has been clearing out camps, you can get the health one or the speed one and drop that down in your lane and be able to assist the lanes. I think they're designed to be used, you know, if a lane's getting pushed or getting weak, you can assist that lane by, you know, having them get the health pot or the speed pot over there.
Yeah, so, you were saying it's almost necessary in this game.
Yeah.
Well, it is necessary to have a jungler.
Well, and that's what I don't like about it, because, you know, I'm not really a jungler. And
I mean, that's the standard meta in all MMOs, isn't it? Except for
MOBAs.
MOBAs, I mean. Yeah. Except for maybe Han.
The thing is, when you're playing casually, most players don't want to be the jungle, because, like, they want to kill things, and it's just hard to find in the casual environment of somebody that wants to jungle, at least in this game. Like, 9 out of my 10 games don't have a jungler.
Wow.
But when the team does have a jungler, that team will always win. Because
if the other team doesn't, for sure.
Yeah. So, and we've also found that if you're doing the jungle right, you out-level other people in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's just a little unbalanced right now as far as the jungle is concerned, but
yeah, it must be unbalanced in my favor, and I'm okay with that, because I'm telling you, I win so much in this game.
Not when I play. 0-2 today, right? Didn't we?
Something like that.
No, we won one.
An Infinite Crisis?
One for one.
Okay.
Yeah.
1-2.
Yeah, the whole jungle thing's difficult because you have to... That position takes a lot of coordination, and it's tough to get someone who's willing to do all that work. Yeah, so I'll probably continue to play that, but I don't know if I can really recommend it or if there's really any more to say about it.
Yeah.
Except for that we're having fun.
We're having fun. While we're on this real quick, Smite is doing another big patch. They did the Siege mode a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
They're dropping another character and doing a whole bunch of balance stuff this week. Janice is the new character, and dropping a whole bunch of tweaks and changes. If you played Smite before, there's changes going on, so you might want to check it out again.
Especially if your big complaint was warriors were too strong, because they're getting nerfed hard. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
All the way down the list. They were dominating the landscape for too long. So.
And by the time this comes out, you guys, it'll be too late, but they're doing a gem giveaway this weekend. So.
Oh, and Amazon has a huge game sale going on. You know, it's pretty much the same price as you're going to get anywhere else, but they have different bundles than everywhere else. So,
yeah.
You know,
well, this
you
is
might...
going on for about a week, I think, the Amazon sale.
Yeah.
And I picked up Injustice for $7.50, which is a good deal for that game. And that's been recommended by a few people.
Is that Gods Among Us?
Yeah, Injustice, Gods Among Us.
Oh, it's a 2D fighter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's by the makers of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
So it's got similar mechanics as Mortal Kombat does, although they don't have a block button. Back is block in this game.
Mm.
I've heard a lot of good things about the story in this as well.
If the story's good, I might pick it up for $7.50.
Yeah, $7.50 is not bad for this game. But yeah, they do have a lot of good bundles. They've got the entire Lego, like all 8 Lego games for $45.
There's
got
to be more than 8 Lego games.
There probably is.
They come out with one of
those.
That's
pretty good, though.
But, you know, one Lego game is like Harry Potter 1 through 4, and the second one is like Harry Potter 5 through 7. Yeah, 8 might be right. If you count all the Star Wars ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do have a lot of good deals on there. Another, and that's going to be going on for about a week. Definitely worth checking out. But another site I wanted to mention is this one I found called Indie Gala. It's basically Humble Bundle. It's the exact same thing Humble Bundle and Bundle Stars have going on. You can get games at a reduced rate. You can also get bundles for like $2, $3, $4. They have bundles of games that you can donate at certain levels. It's exactly like Humble Bundle. If you're collecting games or if you're looking for any specific ones, they occasionally have some good ones on there. It's worth checking out.
Yeah, and if you want to fuck orphans, basically. Like, fuck them over, I mean.
Wow. Because, I didn't know where you were going with that.
Because, you know, with Humble Bundle, at least they're getting some, you know, some is going to charity, and you're paying the same prices, maybe a little bit less on these other sites.
Yeah, well, the way IndieGala works...
Fuck orphans. Or you have our, we have our title for this.
I don't know if we can make that a title. Okay.
Put a comma in there. It helps. It does wonders.
Okay, but the way IndieGala works is a little different. It probably does give some to charity. It also has a whole giveaway system, so you can either host a giveaway or you can participate in a giveaway, and you can sign up with your Steam account. It'll count all the games that you have and give you points based on the number of games that you own. Similar to a site I was talking about last week,
Green Man.
I have a feeling that he's Googling.
Yeah.
Rewards for having a lot of games on Steam.
Yeah.
Because this is like Starfire or whatever. Yeah, they're talking about
Bungle Stars last week. Green Man Gaming last week. No, I just get these emails. You know, I sign up for the newsletter on all these gaming sites, so I find out about all this stuff.
And your inbox must be exploded.
Oh, yeah, it's filthy, but I stay on top of it, man. Like, I keep it clean. It counts all the games that you have, gives you points, and you can use those points to participate in a giveaway. So maybe someone's having a giveaway for any game that they want, and it could be on Steam, it could be on Origin, it could be anything. But they have a giveaway, and then they say, okay, 1,000 points to get in. So you pay 1,000 points, and
Where'd you get these points?
You get them by...
Buying games?
Yeah, by how many games that you own in Steam, and also you get points by hosting giveaways as well. So you can participate in these giveaways and get free games, and it's interesting. It's basically a way to exchange, an elaborate way to exchange games on this site. I don't know how much of the giveaways I'll be doing, but they do have pretty good bundle prices.
Cool. I did notice, I just found out that Reddit actually has a subreddit for Steam game trading.
I'm surprised you're advertising for them after they shut us down.
I know, but
no, that's cool.
I thought that was interesting. So if you have like an extra game where you're trying to pick up a game, you could always go through there and check it out.
No, we're not to the point where you can trade a game that you've already played, right? You can't do that yet.
No.
But they have talked about putting that in, right? That you could be able to sell games on Steam.
Yeah.
That's something that a lot of console players just do not want to give up, but something that I like came to terms with a long time ago. Like, I'm not really interested in like selling my games back to Blockbuster and getting a few bucks, or what is it, GameStop nowadays or something. That's, I don't know, you really don't usually get a good resale value on that anyway. But I don't know, it's important to some people.
Well, I mean, we're also at the point in our lives where, you know, $60 isn't going to make or break your week, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's nice being an adult.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, seriously. I just got older. I never grew up.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was on this IndieGala site, it also, I noticed some of the games that I got in bundles, I couldn't activate on Steam. I had to get something called Desura. So I checked this out, and it's basically like Steam, where it aggregates all your games. You can activate games on it.
Oh no, you're listed as a newbie on this.
Yeah, well, I just signed up. Not too much here that I find like amazing or anything. It's just another way to get games. A lot of anime on this, apparently.
These things are popping up like crazy, all these little social gaming networks.
Yeah. There are quite a few of them. But, you know, it's interesting. It's something to be aware of, I suppose. A lot of visual novels, bro. I'm noticing here, too. A lot of, like, Japanese anime visual novels.
Sure.
Dating sims.
Yeah, dating sims. A lot of dating sims. Those are, like, big over in Japan, I believe.
Yeah.
Dating sims. God, they even have rape sims. How terrible is that?
Awesome. I'll have to look that up.
I think you mean awesome.
Oh my God. Apologize for that. His money went up. He sold some stuff.
Wow. Yeah. We're just sitting here watching Bobby make money on Steam. 11 cents it just went up, folks.
Yeah, I'm making about 10 bucks a week on Steam, just selling emoticons, cards. I'm getting, at the level that I'm at on Steam, I'm getting about, so far this month, I'm up to 8 card packs that have dropped for me. So what quite a bit. About?
No, I have no clue.
Cool story, man. Yeah.
Imagine if I watched the video that he made.
Card packs. I have like a bunch of those.
You were talking about Evolve earlier.
Yeah, so Evolve, which is, I think, collectively the thing we're most excited about, maybe.
Yeah.
Either that or EverQuest Next for me. So I didn't even know this was coming. I figured that they were going to have four hunters, and that was it for the whole game. I knew that they were going to have a different monster for every level, and that was supposed to be big. But now there's four new hunters. I don't know if you have to use these hunters together and the other ones together, or you can interchange them, like have two of the different healers. I like that they're going with completely different directions as the other ones, right? So scroll down a little bit, Bobby. So they got their assault, right? And this is the most generic guy. And he's more generic on the first one, too. This assault has a flamethrower, so which means you just have to stay closer than the other assault has to, basically. But you do more damage. Nothing big there. Next one, the trapper, has a pet. So she has a pet, and the pet can smell out the... And so all of her abilities have to do with, like, controlling that dude. And, you know, like, tracking him down, stuff like that. So I thought that was really cool. I'm always down for pet classes. Now, this healer is fucking dope, man. This is probably the best thing of the whole new hunters. He can go... He has cloaks, but he doesn't heal... He's a necromancer. He can bring people back to life. So while the battle's going on, the monster kills somebody, he turns around and he's back up, you know? And
gotcha.
Because this guy's sneaking around bringing everybody back to life, which I thought was really cool. And the last one is he's a robot. And so
he's the support class, right?
He's a support class. He's modular. So he has he comes apart, and his different parts are turrets. So he has like a turret in his chest, and his arm's a turret or whatever. And his head is UAV, so he could take off his head and throw it, and it could go and track down the monster. So yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff. This game just keeps getting better, right?
So there's four additional characters on top of the...
You probably pick your class, and then you pick which character you want to play.
In that class role.
In that class
role. Okay, so it branches out.
I imagine.
Oh, yeah,
I would
think.
It branches out. No, that sounds awesome. I really hope that they don't dilute it by just making more and more and more of these classes and then charging like microtransactions for each one. And then you can buy a hat for them for 59 cents. And, you know, like it, I just hope they keep it somewhat simple. I hate when they overcomplicate stuff like this, and usually for profit.
Well, the biggest problem with Left 4 Dead, in my opinion, was there's no individuality. You're exactly the same as the other guys, you know, it just depending on what weapons you choose. This, there's a lot more, you know, you can play for your play style. So
I think the problem that I have with a lot of games oversaturating with players is, well, I can't think of a really bad example off the top of my head, but I can think of a really good example. Team Fortress 2. Every character in Team Fortress 2 fills a role and has a very specific duty, and there's no extraneous characters, there's no useless characters, and there's nothing...
The Scout.
The Scout?
I think most teams can do without a Scout.
Well, for capturing points.
Yeah, he's really good for capturing points.
Yeah, he's good at that.
We just don't really play point capture a lot in that game.
Yeah, I guess.
And that's kind of funny that you're thinking... A while back, we tried to think of a new class for Team Fortress 2, and we couldn't come up with one.
Write in if you can, because I've busted my head over trying to... I mean, some people thought of a dog, like an assault dog, but like, there's nothing. Or a chick. Maybe she can...
That's not a class. Being a female is not a class.
In that game, it would be. It would be a whole new concept.
They don't have any women in that game.
No.
Hardly enough.
Except for the voice of the chick that tells you you suck. You're about to lose.
Yeah.
So what's up with Goat Simulator?
I just like the headline. Goat Simulator is coming out with its first patch. Now with more goats. That's it. That's all I got on it. I hate the game. Like, it's a terrible game. It got, like... the worst reviews, but...
What did it get on Metacritic?
It's really bad, dude. It's like 10 or less.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's really, really bad.
I have to look. You know, the thing about Goat Simulator is it sounded really... Goat Simulator was basically the Harlem Shake for me.
You just typed it out. You could have just put goat. That would have been enough, by the way.
That's all I needed.
Yeah.
Okay, this has got a 61 on Metacritic.
Oh, wow.
Not a 10. For me, Goat Simulator was a Harlem Shake. It was funny for about a week or two, and now it's just like, all right.
Well, it came out on April Fool's Day. And so I think it got a lot of buzz because people didn't know if it was real. And that picture, I mean, it's just too good, right?
Yeah.
It's the best picture.
Well, I mean, ghost flopping around, that's hilarious for... How long is that going to be hilarious for?
Well, I thought the same thing about Gary's Mod, but then people started going apeshit with it, so...
Well, Gary's Mod, you can do a lot more.
You can do a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty...
You get all the tools that the developers get, or a lot of them anyway. So, Bobby, as soon as you start loving something, it's going to change. So, Twitch, have you guys heard this? YouTube bought Twitch. By the way, called it. 2 weeks ago, I was like, I wonder why YouTube hasn't bought Twitch.
Yeah.
I said YouTube or Facebook. It's a good thing, I guess, because they're going to have a lot more bandwidth now. Maybe that delay is going to get cut down quite a bit, I'm hoping. They're going to have a lot more strength behind them now. But the downside is YouTube's content ID thing that they do. So that some sort of program, they keep track of what you're streaming. And if you're streaming something that doesn't want to be streamed, it's going to cut you off. Just like if you were making videos of a game that doesn't want you doing Let's Plays or whatever. So that's a concern now.
Well, I wonder where they're going to draw the line with this, because a lot of people play music while they stream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that...
Well, they play that because... So people can't replay it and put it on YouTube, right? I thought that's why people did that. Because you can't play those songs on YouTube. So people can't record your stream without your permission and play it on YouTube, because it has copyrighted material on the stream.
Well, you have an option to prevent your Twitch videos from being recorded in the settings. Although people can use screen capture software and just record it anyway.
Yeah.
It's true. Still, you know, there's copyrighted music up on YouTube that people get content ID strikes for. I don't know. I don't think it's all a bad thing. I think YouTube's a big enough company to kind of, or Google really, to facilitate Twitch and take it. Do you remember when YouTube was not owned by Google?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't long ago.
Yeah, we're old.
6 months ago?
No, really? What?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Didn't they buy them like a year ago, maybe?
Like 10 years ago?
What?
Google bought YouTube.
Yeah,
really? I was living...
A while ago.
Maybe I only noticed a year ago.
Well, I remember the place I was living. This had to be...
It wasn't 9/11, dude. You no need for a flashback.
Well, no, I'm just trying to pick out the date, but it had to be before 2007 or 8.
Really?
It was a long time ago.
Wow. But anyways,
do you remember how bad YouTube was before Google bought them?
No.
Do you remember the star system? Well, they had that for a little while, too, when Google owned it. But it was pretty bad.
YouTube,
I'm all for it. I mean,
240p, ring a bell, like, anybody?
Yeah.
I'm all for Google buying it. I mean, they're gonna, like I say, I keep saying it, they're going to be our robot overlords. Might as well, you know.
I think a lot of, like, the internet has the doom and gloom. Every time a company buys these, they did the same thing with Oculus. All these times that things buy it, everybody on the internet goes crazy. And then it ends up being, like, not a big deal. Or if it is, it only affects a certain small percentage of the people.
No, for sure. It's a good thing. The only thing is the content ID. That's the only thing that, you know, might be tricky.
Until they actually enact something, we don't really know what's going to happen.
You already have some lawsuits on the way for for streaming BJ Blatchwood. Yeah.
That BJ.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so in other news, we have Star Citizen, which, by the way, is the most crowdfunding thing of all time.
Really?
$43.6 million.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, nothing even comes close. Arena Commander's coming out, which is a small part of the major game. The major game, the scope of the game is ginormous. Like, whole new... Like, basically a life online. Kind of like... But in space. You're a citizen of the stars, basically. So it's going to have... But the dogfighting portion of it, that's coming out this month. And, of course, all the people that were the early adopters that that donated are going to be able to play this early. But, it has Oculus VR support and stuff. So you've already seen the graphics from this game. It's amazing. So that's something to look out for, especially if you have an Oculus Rift. And... Okay, so we're talking that's some big numbers, right? 43 million, almost 44 million. The GTA, the creators of GTA are among the Britain's wealthiest people now. They're like in the top 500. And remember how when it came out, it was the top selling thing of all time. Not video game, not movie, thing ever created. they sold something like 500 million copies in a weekend.
Yeah.
When I keep feeling that video games don't get their just due. You know, it's the most crowdfunded thing ever. It's the best-selling thing of all time. And still, it seems to be not up there with everything else. You know what I mean? Like, movies or TV seem to be held at a different standard. You know, as soon as you tell somebody, what are you talking about? Oh, it's a video game. Oh, it's a video game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's still an element of the Wild West mentality with video games. People forget that video games, it's only 30, 40 years old, you know, like, that this has been around. And the stigma of it being a childish or kids game or, you know, stuff like that still exists on it. So I think that's where a lot of that comes from.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, until we get to the point where... Well, we kind of are at the point where parents play video games.
Yeah, but we, our generation is the first generation that grew up on video games. So once our parents' generation goes away, then everybody on the planet will have grown up with video games. And then because it's like that in like movies. You know, in the 20s and 30s with silent movies, you know, people would scoff at them and say it was silly. But once now that we live in a world where everybody grew up watching movies, it's an accepted
form. I think it's the lack of chicks, honestly.
I don't think there's really that big of a lack of chicks anymore, though.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
There's I don't know any female gamers. Not one.
They're out there.
Yeah, they just Bigfoot.
They just get like stampeded by dudes hitting them up that I think they don't really advertise that much.
Like, you'll play a game of TF2, and in 30 people, there'll be one girl. There's never two girls in all of my years.
I don't see how that would suppress video games from really getting their just due.
Because they're more than half of the population. So if they don't consider it as something real or...
You think of it as the games you play, and girls aren't playing, so they're not playing. That's not true. Like,
girls don't play games.
Like, look at Farmville, like a hugely popular game. Like, that was being manufactured by girls. You know, like, they just tend to play different genres than we do because they have looked for different things in life. You know,
Words for Friends. A lot of girls play Words for Friends.
Like, they say that men seek achievements to find happiness, and women look for relationships to find happiness.
Who's they?
That I don't know. You know them. Them.
You know, them.
So a lot of social stuff.
See, I blame the children. You know, it's just hard to like respect anything when you got a bunch of 10-year-olds calling each other racial slurs. I mean, come on.
You blame the children. You sound like a crotchety old man.
No, just fuck the orphans too while we're at it.
Yeah. Fuck the orphans and the kids.
But I mean, come on, and this has been the criticism behind VGA and VGX and all the video game awards, is compare the VGAs to the Oscars.
There's a new one coming out too. I think the Video Game Awards or something, but it seemed pretty
VGA, Video Game Awards?
No.
It's not the one hosted by Spike?
It's a new one. And it seemed pretty big I should have wrote this down, but it was by somebody big like ABC or something like that. So I was like, oh, damn it. Anyway, so look out for that. Let's see what else I got here. So Steam has more games at this point right now than all of last year combined at this point. New games, new releases at this point more than last year. Is that going to continue? We're getting to oversaturation on Steam. Like, fuck, how many amazing games have slipped through just because I didn't log on at the right time?
You know who it hasn't slipped through?
Yeah. I'll let you know.
Hold on here. You said Steam has more games this year than they've ever had, but you never said these were good games.
No, right?
Steam has opened up the floodgates, and trust me, it's not... you're not missing much. Most of these games that they're putting out there... greenlit games. I don't even really like the whole green light system that they have in place.
Didn't you say that was going away?
I've heard talks of it, but I don't know if it's actually happening. But I don't think a lot of people pay much attention to it anymore. And it's just not... Quantity is not really important. Or it shouldn't be. You know, this coming from the guy who buys all that schlock they put out there. You know, all those 50-cent dollar games.
Well, the other thing is... Especially nowadays, when you talk about internet, you know, freedom of the internet, what is it called? Net neutrality and all that stuff. I really think like Steam needs to make sure that it follows that same kind of mentality, that same method.
Everything is...
So, you know, it's like...
Let the market dictate.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. I wouldn't want them to all of a sudden start making decisions on what can and can't go on their
I saw a little bit of a vlogger. He was taking the opposite. But I didn't even watch the whole vlog because he was like, you know, we need quality control from Steam. You know, fuck you. Like, let the... If there's a diamond in the rough, it will rise, most likely.
Yeah.
You do get those bad, you know, every once in a while something gets buried and, you know, never comes, sees the day of light. But, you know, an editor somewhere will tweet about it and boom, it blows up out of nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
So, so more, at the end of the day, more games a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a really good video a couple, I mean, this must have been 2 months ago, on The Escapist by a guy, Jim something. His show is called Jimquisition, but he had a really good video with the counterpoint saying that Steam does need to have quality control. And he was talking more, and I kind of agree with some of the points he made when he was talking more on games coming out that just were not complete, just riddled with bugs and just not acceptable playable quality. Mm. Games like Takedown Red Saber and what was that one they changed the title?
What did you just say?
Takedown Red Saber. Yeah.
So, did you buy it?
I think maybe it was Red Saber Takedown. Yeah, I had an extra copy of it. That one's long gone, so sorry, folks. I'm missing out on that one. But what was the one, Infestation or Survivor Stories or the War Z? The one they changed the title of. It used to be the War Z. It was an ripoff of
DayZ.
Of DayZ.
Yeah.
And they changed it to... Yeah, and it got like 20 on Metacritic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was another example. So, I mean, games like that, do you think they should be allowed on Steam?
No. Well, shit, that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, you get the Metacritic in the first day, so
yeah.
I mean, if you're not... But then a lot of these indie titles are not Metacritic, not even close. Like, a lot of them.
Well, yeah. And I guess the other thing that would worry me is how do you go about making sure that games are able to go
to
the front?
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
You know, how... Just like you go onto Google, and you have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get onto that first page of Google for whatever you're looking for. So... Like, does Steam?
That's what the gamer tags are for, you know. That helps out sort out all the bullshit. But yeah, that's a worst case scenario of what we're talking about, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully, there's not too many of that.
Well, we do have the Steam user reviews too, which are actually fairly new. That's only a couple months old, and that serves a great purpose. People will let you know, hey, this game is shit, don't buy it, in their user reviews.
So the compendium, by the by, is over $6 million now. Last week we talked about it and I said 4.7 or something.
Yeah.
So as I'm going through my notes for this week and I'm writing shit down, I have to continuously update this number. It went 4.6 over 5, 5.5, and then 6 was like a couple days ago. So I'm sure it's over that now.
More is that more prize power pool?
Yeah, that's prize pool. Yeah. So first place might be even $3 million. Who knows?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Fucking crazy.
Looks like I'm going to have to get pro at Dota.
Have any of you guys ever had a game that had the companion app? Like, an app
had a game with a
companion
cube.
No, Mass Effect 3 has a companion app that I used.
Oh, you did use it. Yeah. What did it do?
So, Mass Effect 3, you had the Intergalactic War, and you had to basically... fight off the... I'm drawing a blank on what the bad guys are called.
Void? They're from the Void or whatever.
Yeah. So, if you wanted the really good ending, you had to
the
have
Reapers?
So much...
Reapers, yeah.
Or the Reapers, yeah, nice. Thank you. You had to have so much readiness in your Intergalactic and what you could do on the companion app. Well, it also had, like, the dictionary, like, the wiki for...
Oh, that's cool.
But then you could send your ship on missions while you weren't playing. Uh-huh. Like, a little... It wasn't even a game. It was kind of just, like, send your guy there... And
busy
would,
work.
Yeah. But you couldn't get 100% readiness unless you did use the companion app to do some of this stuff. They later patched it in so you didn't have to require
the
companion
app. Yeah, that's
a
bit much.
But when it first came out, if you wanted the best ending, you had to use the companion
app. I just wanted to talk about it because it's a new thing and you know it's coming up. The Landmark has a companion app.
Hmm.
And I've always felt like probably the worst part of a game is inventory management. I hate inventory management.
Yeah.
I do so much of it in Skyrim. If it had a companion app where I can move around, you know, while I'm in the office or whatever. You know, it'd be really nice to be able to do. But yeah, Landmark has it, so that's all inventory management, right? Well, half the game is inventory management. Yeah. So they have that, and that's free. I just think it's a really cool concept.
Yeah. You know, Assassin's Creed 4 had a companion app where, similar to Mass Effect 3, you could send your ship on your fleet on missions for resources. And that was my first experience with one of these.
And I guess kind of WoW has, you know, the auction one that you can do on your phone. Yeah. So that, I guess you could consider that companion app.
Oh, for sure. I would say so, yeah. It's just a great new thing that's coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I play Dark Souls 2, I feel like I'm using my phone as a companion.
Absolutely, dude. Yep.
Just looking up how to do stuff.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. That's funny, because you guys say like you're having fun, but every time you talk about it, it's kind of like...
It's kind of like when you guys play Smite. It's like, oh, this game is awesome. This game's amazing. And then, like, you listen to us. We're just like, fuck! God damn it! Fuck!
Yeah.
And that was all of his F-bombs for the whole season.
Yep,
here.
Used him up. Used him up.
Yeah, I swear like a sailor on that game. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think we got some video of that. Real clip.
Do not look up that video.
Please look up that video. It's no, so awesome.
Not. It's not on YouTube anymore.
Oh, man.
You might have to put it back up, though. But as we...
I forgot about that video.
It's classic.
Yeah.
As we approach the end of this, we're going kind of long on this one. I wanted to talk about Super Game Jam, which is on Steam right now, and it's a lot... On the surface, it looks like a documentary, like Indie Game the Movie, but it's actually a five-part episode put out by Devolver Digital, which is a publisher. They did Hotline Miami, Serious Sam, Foul Play, a couple other games, a lot of titles, actually. But it's a documentary where they follow teams of indie developers as they try to develop a game in 2 days. And they've got a lot of big name, recognizable named indie developers here. They got Sas Sawaski, I'm butchering that, but the guy who did McPixel, they got the guy who did Gunpoint.
Rhyme Capsule or whatever that one is.
Haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, that one's a...
No, they're going to come up with concept and write the whole code in two days?
I guess so, but these are really simple games. So it's $20 on Steam, and you get all five episodes. Only one is out so far.
Hope you get the games, too.
Yeah, you get the games, too, which is pretty cool. It's like an interactive sort of thing. I'm interested. It's $20. I mean, that's a lot of money.
No, it is.
So I've played these...
That's like nine of the games that you usually buy, right?
Yeah.
I've played a couple of these style of these Game Jam games because this is kind of a thing that is done.
Yeah. Well, they had a 7-day game challenge and like with games like
They've
Receiver.
Got a bunch of them. Yeah. But anyways, the games usually that come out of these things are loosely considered games. Like it'll be just one level, or it'll be like only survivor mode, you know, basically, and you just get waves of stuff. But I'd be interested to know if anything actually interesting, anything actually good.
I wonder if there's going to be support after the after the tournament's over or whatever it is.
I really don't think if they're going to finish the games or anything. I really don't think the point of this is to develop games. I think this is more focusing on
getting $20 from everybody.
No, game development.
No, it's focused on game development. Yeah, game development. The process. Yeah.
Cliffy B, he tweeted one out. There's another one called something Jam. Of some sort, and it's getting developers to develop a game in a genre that they hate, like getting famous developers and getting. So I thought that was a really cool concept too, but I don't know how much timeline they have on that one.
Be interesting to see what kind of product comes out of that.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen Indie Game the Movie, you really got to check it out. It's a great, great documentary. Not even just because it's on video games, but just all around an interesting documentary. You could show that to a non-gamer.
And yeah, I told a non-gamer to go watch Free to Play just because it's such a good game.
Yeah.
All right, good movie.
That indie game is on, movie is on Netflix, I believe.
Yeah, on Netflix. They even sell it on Steam. It's almost always in these indie bundles, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, worth checking out.
Did you have anything else?
I am all done.
Yeah, me too. Finally. Whew, going long today, guys.
That was a long one. Thanks for listening if you made it all the end.
Yeah, awesome, if
you didn't make it, fuck you, because you're not listening.
Are we playing anything coming up? You're finishing up Wolfenstein. I'm going to finish up Transistor. We're going to probably play some Infinite Crisis and some Smite.
Going to be finishing up Jedi Knight, too. Can't stay away from that game.
Gosh.
It's,
I'm going to actually have 3 days off next week, so Are you when do you go on?
Yeah, I'm going to be on vacation exactly a month. I'll be on vacation, okay. So I'll be having a lot of free time. But usually Friday, Saturday is the day that we all get together to play games, and we'll probably be posting in the Steam group on the days that we're going to be gaming together. And if anyone wants to join us, you can do that. Hit us up on Steam, join the Steam group. Also, check out our website, dlgaming.net. Got stuff on there. Anything else you guys want to plug?
You can email us at dudes@dlgaming.net. We'd like to hear your feedback. If you have questions or concerns or anything else, hit us up with it.
Yep. Thanks for listening.